Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for the Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of the Social Hour is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your account for 6 months, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code SOCIALHOUR7. And by audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/socialhour. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit. Welcome to another episode of The Social Hour. We're on episode 15, and from Petaluma, California, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Prince Edward Island, Canada, far away on the East Coast, but a great place to be in the summertime, Sarah.
So, Amber, this is where you grew up. You're not, yep, in Toronto, where you usually are, where you reside currently. Prince Edward Island is your place of birth?
Yep. It's my home province. So basically, I was born here and I lived here till I was in almost junior high, and then I moved to Ottawa. But all of my family's here, and I have tons of relatives, like dozens and dozens of cousins, and it's just a really nice place. So it is home for me in that respect.
Well, cool. Well, it's you're going to be there for a few weeks, so I guess, yeah, I will see you from Prince Edward Island for the next couple of weeks before you go back home.
And who knows where I'll be next, Sarah?
I certainly don't.
It's a mystery tour.
Absolutely. Well, we have a very special guest today, and it's funny because I have been loving a company that he's associated with, but I didn't even really know until he thanked Leo and I profusely for mentioning Hipmunk on iPad Today, which we have done a couple times because it's a great service and they have a new iPad app, which we really like a lot. He joins us now, but he does Hipmunk and a lot more. Alexis Ohanian, welcome to the Social Hour. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. You have a pretty amazing bio for someone who at least appears to be very young. Aside from Hipmunk, I'm just reading down through our notes. You're the founder of Breadpig and also the co-founder of Reddit. So some pretty amazing stuff in your background.
Well, the other half of my bio is all a lie, so that explains for why it looks so impressive.
Sure.
So, Alexis, the co-founder of Reddit. Now, you left in, was it 2009, to pursue other projects? But Reddit could be considered at least one of the first social networks that represent social networking as people know it today. Wouldn't you say?
I if you're going to bestow that title on me, I will accept it. I fled the country in at the end of 2009. Steve and I actually both left Reddit. Steve Huffman and I had co-founded it back in 2005. And it was a weird time because no one really had talked about the phrase social media before. We were entering a fairly uncharted territory. And when we launched, we were actually really inspired by Delicious / Popular. Delicious has gone through so many changes in the years since. But that was an interesting byproduct of, you know, people bookmarking stuff they wanted to save for later. And we thought they're onto something here, but they're not focusing enough on the actual, the sort of ephemeral news, the kind of things that aren't interesting that you want to save, you know, a month from now, but that you want to look at and discuss, you know, for the next 24 hours. And, you know, Steve, to his credit, built this brilliant algorithm that just to this day continues to do a really great job sorting the really interesting stuff from the bad.
One thing that's really interesting about the Reddit community, and Sarah kind of touched on it, is just the sense of community that is there. And it is a very strong sense of community. There are a lot of people, I think, who have become friends through Reddit, who use the service on a regular basis, and are also very loyal. How do you think you guys were able to actually capture that type of audience, which is an audience that any social network developer would like?
Oh, goodness. This is the question I used to get every time I'd give a speaking gig. This is always the question that inevitably came up. And I always had these really bad answers that I kind of cobbled together on the spot. And so I finally sat down and thought about it. And I actually just taught a class at General Assembly, shameless plug, which was on just this, building communities online. And I think it's two things. One, was the technology that it was built on. And I talked about Steve's algorithm earlier, but it's the same thing that we use on the commenting system. And it's really unlike anything else on the internet, where you can actually have really great discussions, really great threads that bubble up and are voted on well. And that helps preserve a sense of community and help build and encourage people who want to participate. You know, compare that to, like, let's say YouTube comments. And granted, they've made some improvements, but they can really make you doubt your faith in humanity.
I totally agree with that.
And so I think that technology combined with just giving a damn. Steve and I spent so much of our time just getting involved in the community, showing that we cared, doing everything from signing the form letters that we'd send out with T-shirts that people would buy, to just trying to always keep perspective on who was actually, you know, essentially paying our bills and who was making the site interesting. And that was our community. And would we bend over backwards to sort of make sure that they were having a great time at our party, so to speak.
So, Alexis, tell us a little bit about Bread Pig, which I was not familiar with until I was familiar with you. But it is, it's an interesting concept, and it seems like a departure from what a lot of other people are doing, especially since we're in what some would consider to be a tech bubble where everyone is trying to raise as much money as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Well, so Bread Pig started as as a weird little side project. I guess Tim Ferriss would call it a passive revenue stream. Mm-hmm. Except after a good bit of revenue, I realized this is more fun to really give away than it is to spend on, you know, cocaine and hookers. And I was really inspired by Paul Newman, who started this wonderful salad dressing company called Newman's Own.
I love their Numinos, the Oreo.
Yes. Oh,
the healthy alternative.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's great because they create a lot of really wonderful food and donate all of their profits into the year. And I thought, this is very cool, but I can't make salad dressing, so I'll just make geeky things and then sell those and give away the profits. And after a couple of years, it turned out we've been giving away over $150,000. To date, we're up to about $180,000 in donated profits. And we've been selling things like this, the XKCD book, which any good nerd ought to have on his or her bookshelf, as well as Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereals book. Like, we publish books that nerds would like to buy. We create magnetic poetry with LOL cat speak on it if you want to make your fridge look like it's a little slow. And it's been a lot of fun. I've hired a couple of folks now, and it's been an interesting project. But I actually really don't manage a lot of the day-to-day operations of anymore. Christina Hsu, who's the co-founder of RaffleCon, now does. And it keeps chugging along, and it keeps me out of gang life.
That's a good thing. Now I have to ask, because the name is obviously not a typical name that you see online. Where did Bread Pig come from?
Bread Pig's not typical. Well, Steve
not
and
in
I,
my world.
Steve and I were looking for domain names for Reddit, and actually it was after I really liked the name Reddit, because I thought people would go around saying, like, I read it on Reddit. To this day, I don't think anyone has ever said that. but Steve and Paul Graham actually were a little less psyched about that name. And so we spent a long time coming up with other domains. One of the things we did was search sort of expired domain names that people had registered and then given up. And we were searching for the keyword read, R-E-A-D, because we thought that's an important thing. It's a part of the site. You know, it'll be relevant. And Bread Pig was one of the top results that came up. And Steve and I just looked at each other and started laughing, because we're thinking, who the hell registers breadpig.com? Like, who's like, this is a great idea, I've got a company for this, and then gives it up? So we thought, let's sit on this. And it was like our joke domain name for years. And Steve one day came to me and was like, I bet it looks like a pig with bread wings. And I just thought, all right, I can draw that.
Oh, I thought it was a pig toaster, actually.
Oh, well, you know, the bread pig can be whatever you want it to be.
Okay, that's good.
So, Alexis, let's get to Hipmunk, because Hipmunk is... It's really my go-to travel site. A lot of people would compare it to Kayak. Kayak is obviously very well known. And I've actually had people ask me when I say, go to Hipmunk. It's very stress-free as far as just figuring out what your travel options are. And they say, well, how is it better than Kayak? And I say, I think you just have to look at it and you see how much simpler the experience is. That must be on purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Excuse me. We're all travelers ourselves, and Adam Goldstein, who was the one who originally came to Steve with the very first concept, basically found that there was nothing out there that really solved this problem. Nothing really took the agony out of searching for flights or for hotels, and that there were just better ways to sort flights and better ways to show those results. And we've definitely seen this kind of Hipmunk eureka moment I'm looking to find ways to capture it on sort of hidden cameras, because when people do their first search and first see the results and see that they're sort of by agony and see the way they're visually displayed, they realize like, oh, I've actually been using a really broken tool for so long. There is a better alternative. So as the head marketing dude for Hipmunk, I'm looking for any opportunity to get someone to run a Hipmunk search for the first time and to sort of see that first moment, that aha moment. Because when they do see it and once they've run their first search, they're pretty much hooked. So that's a great advantage for us. And I'll tell you, the first year since we've launched Hipmunk, it's almost been a year now, has been so, the response has been so tremendous. And I think back to the first year after we launched Reddit, when I was just dying to get people to talk about Reddit, to understand Reddit. It's such a different product and it's such a different user experience that, you know, even today, if you came on Reddit for the first time and didn't know there were 20 million people coming a month, you wouldn't quite get it. But with Hipmunk, as soon as you run your first search, boom, you see the value and quickly, hopefully, love the mascot too.
One of the nice things that I love about it is flight can be taking a flight, as we all know, is just really complicated and no one's really having a lot of fun. And what Hipmunk is great at is telling me how agonizing a potential flight would be. That's one of the things I like about it. And it seems really, really obvious, right? So if I'm searching for a flight between SFO and Denver International, I can search by agony, which is sort of a combination of how much it's going to cost me, how long I'm going to be in the air, do I have to make a stopover, do I have to make two, and it sort of gives me an overall, this is how much it's going to hurt for you to travel. Because flights can be, hey, if you fly first class or business, it might be a little bit better than coach, but all of that has to be taken into consideration when people are trying to get from point A to point B.
Yes, and you know, one of the things we actually recently added I did not expect the fanfare around this, but people got really excited because we added little Wi-Fi logos next to the flights. You could see it on the flight where there is a Wi-Fi enabled plane. And there are lots of nerds who are just as internet addicted as I am, who absolutely are willing to make the choice based on wireless. And really, it comes down to the fact that, you know, we're willing to pay an extra $20 for a flight that doesn't have a layover in Chicago, and no one else has ever seemed to care about that. And you know, we want to minimize the agony in our lives. And little bit of Hipmunk trivia: it was originally called Suckage.
And Suckage.
I remember when I first heard that, I was like, "That is hilarious, Steve." But it went with something a little bit more palatable.
I think Hipmunk is a better name. just out of curiosity, I'm looking at the blog on Hipmunk, and I know you guys do a lot on, I think, Facebook as well, because a lot of our audiences are interested in social media. How important do you think it is, as head of the marketing here, to use blogging and Facebook and all these other tools on a regular basis to kind of build an audience?
Oh, hugely. Well, so this goes back to lessons learned at Reddit. It was actually much easier on Reddit to build up a kind of rabid fan base and a community because the product itself was social. On Hipmunk, you know, perhaps there'll come a time when Hipmunk will have some more social elements to it. But for now, you know, booking a flight is a fairly solitary activity that you do really only when you need to. And so the blog, Facebook, Twitter, those are ways to keep people engaged for all the other times when they don't need to book a flight. Because really, we want you to understand that, like, we're a bunch of travelers ourselves. We want to make your life traveling as easy as possible. So not only will we make your flight and hotel search easy, but, you know, we'll make sure you find out the best places to go when you're visiting a particular city, or just smart ways to travel better and more efficiently.
Alexis, I watched your 3-minute TED Talk last night. I was researching you, as we tend to do on our guests. And you gave a really succinct and interesting, and it seemed like a crowd-pleasing talk about social impact, I guess you would say. When was that? Was it TED Talk India?
Oh, geez. Yes. Yeah. TED had, you know, TED roams the world. And so this is one of their TEDs in India. And this was back in, 2008. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. a couple years ago. It was very warmly received. I think you can't go wrong when you do a TED Talk about a whale named Mr. Splashy Pants.
Uh-huh.
It was very humbling, though, to think, like, I was on the same stage that Hans Rosling was on a little bit earlier, talking about something very interesting and very important. It was about when India was going to catch up to the United States in terms of the economically. But knowing that they were still willing to give me a bit of stage time to share sort of with Hans Rosling, as absurd as that is, was a great honor and a ton of fun.
And we won't play the whole thing right now, but it was you gave a, it was an interesting it was a specific example of how you were able within the Reddit community to kind of I guess push something through to help to band everybody together through social behavior to make an impact, to make something happen. Do you feel as though that's still possible? Has the landscape changed socially from 2008 when you gave this talk? Do you still feel that the same rules are true, where if you want something bad enough and you have a good community, you can make it happen?
Yes, I think so. So one of the interesting things that I've seen since Splashy Pants, and so Splashy Pants was an interesting one because that was one of the early kind of Reddit-led social experiments. That was something where we, as in the administrators, sort of jumped on the Reddit community's bandwagon. So I, you know, changed the logo for them. But that was stuff that was following their lead. Before then, you know, we would get the community behind different fundraising efforts, but it was a lot more top down. Like I'd write a blog entry that said, "Hey, it's the end of the year. Go vote on a bunch of nonprofits, and we'll have some cool fundraiser and donate the money there." But there was some kind of, sorry, Malcolm Gladwell, tipping point, maybe somewhere around Splashy Pants, where the community just stopped needing us. And so last year, if you remember Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart's...
That's you!
Was that... Oh, is it my beard? Yeah.
It's okay. Your beard? How
really?
Is that... How's
that
possible?
Crazy. I swear I'm not moving otherwise. Yeah.
How strange.
Oh, yeah. It's like some kind of static. Okay.
You seem okay again.
Should I take that from somewhere else without touching my face?
You can. yeah, pick it up at... you were... I guess talking about Splashy Pants as an example.
All right. Okay. Mr. Splashy. Yeah. So after Mr. Splashy Pants, we noticed that it was less a top-driven exercise where you know, we would have an idea, we'd post it on the blog, we'd get the community's feedback and sort of push them along. After Splashy, you know, the community just started doing stuff, and we would just hop on the bandwagon. And most recently, and most impressively, last year, Reddit wanted to get the attention of Stephen Colbert because he was sort of teasing out this idea of hosting a rally to restore sanity and or fear with Jon Stewart. And the Reddit community obviously loves Stephen and really wanted to get his attention and thought, what better way than to just have a big money bomb for his favorite nonprofit, which happened to be Donors Choose. And so Reddit raised over $600,000 for Donors Choose in the span of like a month just to get Stephen Colbert's attention. And good news, they did. And Stephen was very grateful, wrote a big thank you note and a bunch of little shout outs on the show. And I do think that there is this potential to actually take a bunch of disparate people all over the internet who only kind of know each other. They know each other through a username and get them to do really cool, impressive social good. The hard part, though, is coordinating it, because I really don't believe that you have control over that sort of thing, and that it's not that sort of thing would not have happened if Steve or I had just said, "Hey guys, we're going to do this big fundraiser for Stephen Colbert." The way that sort of thing happens is organically, because it's much more genuine when some user just wakes up one morning and says, "I had a dream last night. There was a big rally in DC, and Stephen Colbert was there, and we need to make this happen." And even most recently, there's a Reddit entirely dedicated to gifting people pizza. where people can either say, "I need a pizza," and someone, a sort of pseudo-anonymous stranger, says, "Okay, I'll buy you a pizza." And likewise, someone who says, "Hey, look, I'm feeling generous. Who needs a pizza?"
That's awesome.
I love it. That's awesome. Just one last question for me.
Sure.
What are your favorite social networks right now? What are the main sites that you're kind of using to keep in touch and keep doing all the different things you're doing?
I am such a bad internet user. I mean, really,
I don't believe you.
No, seriously. I spend most of my time on Gmail, which doesn't really count.
Well, now you've got Google Plus, Alexis.
And I've been very impressed by it.
Yeah, us too.
I mean, I spend time on Facebook. I spend time on Twitter. A lot of that is just for work-related stuff. But that's pretty much the extent of it. That's pretty much it. And, of course, Reddit. And a little bit of Hacker News as well, which is like startup porn in case you're not already a user. Those are the ones. And I'd love to see more Google Plus in my life, because I've been very impressed with what I've seen so far. Unfortunately, some of my good friends are not in it yet, and I need to wait for that next invite window so I can make sure they get in. But until then, yeah.
So, well, Alexis, thank you so much for joining us. Of course, you are Nothing on Twitter, so it's KN the number 0 THING. Where else can people follow along with all of your endeavors online?
Wow. I guess there'd be my website and blog, alexisohanian.com. But that's where I post photos of cute animals and other sort of related things. Very important stuff.
Well, very good. It was awesome to talk to you. Bread Pig is great. Of course, co-founder of Reddit, which many people know about. In fact, Tech News Today, we use a Reddit subdomain to help us choose stories daily. It's a wonderful service.
Awesome.
So, Alexis, we definitely have you to thank. And, of course, Hipmunk. I'm a huge fan. Anybody who needs to book a flight, just go to Hipmunk next time you
want. Oh, you rock, Sarah.
Just next time you want to get started, and you will thank me. Trust me, especially if you have an iPad app, you got to have it. It's a must-have. Thanks so much for joining us, Alexis.
Thank you so much. We'll see
pleasure.
You online.
Yes. All right. Thank you for having me, ladies.
Absolutely. Take care. Amber, have you used Hipmunk?
You know what? I think that I don't know if I was on with Leo or we were talking about Hipmunk on the show. So yes, I have. I think it was one of you that introduced me to it, and it is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a very good service. Alexis is. I think he's being modest, but he's definitely a well-known dude online. Very prolific and very nice too.
Very nice, cool.
Very
energetic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's a good guy. It's interesting. It's like you don't. Some people, you know them from their online life, and it seems like Alexis is well versed in many things. You don't necessarily co-found Reddit and then decide to found a nonprofit and then say, you know, I'm going to run marketing for a travel service, for
That's
example.
Amazing.
Yeah, so it's a man of many hats.
Very cool. We'll have to have him back on the show, Sarah.
Absolutely. If anybody is interested in all of what Alexis is doing and his many endeavors, that is where we can... It's still very early for me and my coffee is processing. The Social Hour's website, show notes, is where you can find all that information. If you're not familiar with our website, it's twit.tv/TSH. That's also where you can watch all of our archived shows. We're on episode 15, but you can see episode 14 and back to our very first episode at this address. This is also where you can subscribe. So if you don't want to watch the show live, or for whatever reason you can't, or we're doing it on a weird day like we are today, because yesterday... Yeah, yesterday was a U.S. holiday. We usually shoot our shows at 11 a.m. Pacific Mondays, 2 p.m. Eastern. Well, we couldn't do that yesterday because I had the day off, so we decided to do it today. But if you can't watch live, no big deal. You can just always subscribe to either our video or audio feed, whatever works best for you, or both, and watch on demand whenever you like. All right, Amber, before we get to the next area of the show, we definitely want to thank Squarespace for sponsoring The Social Hour. Squarespace is awesome. If you're not familiar with it, it is the easiest, fastest way to publish a high-quality website or blog. I use it. Tom uses it for his Sword and Laser podcast. We have a lot of folks who use Squarespace and are extremely happy with it. And if you wonder, well, why is this better than whatever I'm using now? You know, I'm using WordPress, or I'm using Tumblr, or I'm happy with TypePad. Go to their examples page. If you go to squarespace.com, and just click on the examples tab, you get a really good sense of all the different, not just blogs, but actual websites that have a lot of content. The way that they vary in the look and the feel and what people are selling or photo galleries. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff going on. Like Sculpt, it's a design and art site, for example. Squarespace blog looks very different than a lot of other blogs. And that's the kind of cool thing, is that you don't want your personal area to look the same as everyone else. We actually have a deal. If you go to squarespace.com, and when you go ahead and sign up for an account, let's go back to Squarespace's site here. Sign up for an account. That's right on the main page. Go ahead and click sign up. And when you sign up, you go ahead and choose what you want your URL to be and your password and your email address. And when you create your website, if you use the offer code SOCIALHOUR7, you get 10% off your new account for 6 whole months. That's an amazing deal. Squarespace.com, offer code SOCIALHOUR7. And you know, you wonder, okay, well, it's a blog, it's a website, that's great. How is it, is it the design? That's wonderful. How is it really different? What's great about it is that you can also import any blog that you've been spending a lot of time on, you've put a lot of effort into, you don't want to lose any of that data or those photos or links, that stuff can all be imported into Squarespace very easily. I actually did that myself some years ago from Typepad, and it was a painless experience, which is not always the case because data can get corrupted and it can import weird and you've got your images all stretchy and this and that. Squarespace will also allow you to export. And for whatever reason, you've got to take your data elsewhere. Eventually, they won't hold anything hostage, which is very cool of them. They also have really, really good customer service. For anybody who's not a design expert like myself, Amber's a little bit better at it than I am, but
not great though, Sarah.
You know a little bit more than I do about kind of like the back end website stuff. But if you're not an expert, they make it really easy to just create a beautiful layout. You don't have to have gone to college for, you know, to know a lot of CSS or anything like that. You definitely don't have to have gone to college, but specifically for website design, you don't need to know any of that. But if you want to tinker around and you get in trouble and need a little help, their customer service is really good. I can attest to that. Squarespace.com, offer code SOCIALHOUR7. And we thank them very much for their support of the show. So, Amber, we talked a little bit with Alexis about Google Plus.
I know, a lot to talk about, Sarah.
I know, we do. And I mean, we couldn't possibly get to it all because it's a pretty robust service. It was in private beta. People started to get invites last week. I actually had, I don't know if it was a mistake or not, but I got in. And initially, I was invited by somebody else who had gotten an account, and I wasn't able to invite anybody. And then one day I noticed, this is like, oh, I don't know, last Thursday or last Wednesday, in the lower right-hand corner of Google Plus, A, start inviting your friends or invite people to Google Plus. So I posted on my Facebook page, okay, who wants an invite? And I got so many requests to the point where, and I wasn't alone. I think a lot of other people were just sort of like, inviting people.
There's so much demand to get into the service, right?
Yeah, people were inviting people in batches, and Google said, okay, we're shutting this down. And so then people were kind of frustrated about that. It appears, at least at this point, I just checked before the show, that it's open to the public again. So I don't think people have to get invites. They've kind of been going up and down, I guess, trying to keep up with demand. But what do you think so far?
Well, it's funny because I got an invite initially, I think from a Google PR person who was just sending out invites to people in the media. So I signed up and I was actually on my way to Prince Edward Island. So we were driving here and I kind of poked in for a second and then I left. And then I hadn't checked my email for like 2 days because I just wanted a bit of a break, which I never do. And then all of a sudden, you know, just got bombarded with messages and so many people started using it. I feel in some ways I'm a little bit late to the party because I haven't been as active on there as other people. However, at first glance, I think it's fantastic. The user experience is so easy. It's really simple to get up and running. In some ways, I kind of wanted to hate it, Sarah, because I felt like, oh, I have enough places to manage already in my own life. So I wanted to say, oh, you know, I don't like this experience. There's nothing appealing here. However, I think it's pretty fantastic. And because of the tight integration within my Gmail account and because I'm using so many other services, I really love how easy it has been to kind of manage it and sort of start to keep up to date with it. What about you?
Yeah, I've been really impressed. This is for anybody who uses Google services regularly. We are some of those people. I mean, I'm in Google apps all day long. We use spreadsheets for our shows here on Twit. It's a familiar layout, but design wise, it's kind of a departure for Google. I mean, this is probably the prettiest Google product that I can remember seeing. I love the notification system where I can just sort of easily see what's been going on, who've maybe mentioned me in a post, for example. It's sort of in this right-hand sidebar that's really unintrusive, and I can kind of take a look without having to use the back button a million times. My stream reminds me a lot of FriendFeed, Amber. I loved FriendFeed back in the day, and I was kind of bummed when Facebook gobbled them up and things really started slowing down because I had used it a lot as a Twitter alternative, you know, just a way to share information that was different than Twitter and didn't have the constraints that Twitter has. I've been having a great time adding people to my circles. For example, so Mike Taylor, he works with us at Twit, so I'll go ahead and put him in my Twit circle, which is something that I created. I've got 25 people in there now, so you would be in there as well. I don't know if I've already added you in there, but I just kind of wait for Google to give me suggestions, and I'm like, oh yeah, Bradley Horowitz, he's how I know this person.
I love the suggestions. I mean, I just am looking at my Google Plus page right now and seeing the suggested users, and it's so easy to literally drag and drop them into circles. And just like you, I'm seeing all these people, you know, friends of mine who I've either done business with or I've known for a long time. They're just popping up there, and they're natural fits, and they are close to me. And so it's nice to be able to simply add them like that by just dragging and dropping. So that part of it is really slick.
Yeah, I like the it seems like people are people last week when they were starting to play around with Google Plus were not into circles because they didn't like the idea of manually adding people to a circles area. I like it a lot. This view is actually, you can't actually see my circles because we've got this sort of weird view on our studio computer. But I think it's kind of fun. I like to manually drag and drop. Well, there you are, Amber Mack. I've got a few different addresses for you, so I think I've actually seen you a few times before. But this is where all of my friends can go into certain categories, and that is where Google Plus, I think, really shines, because I've got my friend stream, I've got family, I've got a lot of acquaintances, and the nice thing is that people don't see what circle you've put them into. And it's not because mm-hmm. you aren't going to say nice things about them or put them in a bad circle, but it's like there are a lot of people, Amber, you know this, that you know socially, especially if it's online, that you wouldn't really say are good friends of yours, but they're a friend of a friend, or maybe you've done a little bit of business together. They're not a coworker, they're not a buddy, but they are acquaintances, and you're at least moderately interested in what they're doing. And that's it works a lot like Twitter lists, but I just think it looks a lot better. And at least for me, it seems to make more sense organizationally.
Yeah, I just think easier to manage as well. I mean, just the drag and dropping and the ease of creating new circles and not having to tell everybody exactly where they are. I think, you know, again, one of my favorite things is just how seamless the whole experience is. I don't think I've ever jumped into a social network and understood it as quickly as I understood or understand Google Plus. It's just it's so simple to get up and running. And again, I mean, I think the only issue I have right now is how do I fit this into my life with all the other networks? You know, because am I abandoning one because I'm focusing more on this? Or that's the real struggle, I think, for on my end.
I think I'm comparing it to Twitter, but I mean, I think Google Plus has a lot more in common with Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and because they're experimenting with Google as a destination more than a tool. Like Facebook, I've always felt it's a tool, but I feel like I go to Facebook, I hang out within Facebook under the Facebook umbrella for a while. And then I go do something else. Now, of course, Facebook doesn't necessarily want me to feel that way. That's why they have Facebook Connect. And it's so easy to connect to Facebook not within its domain itself. But I still feel like it is a destination. And Google has never felt that way for me. I mean, even in Gmail, Buzz, I played around with a little bit. I liked it. But it never really took off. And I think that it still felt like, why are we here?
Yeah, it felt like that, I think. You know, you got there and it was like, okay, what do I do now? Whereas here, there's so much happening. It's not a matter of what do I do? It's just a matter of, okay, that's a lot of information. And you feel just drawn to it more. And I don't know, Sarah, if you feel the same way, but I'm just amazed at how many people are on it already. Like the adoption rate has been so fast for this particular service.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at some people, you know, when you see the list of recommended people you might want to add in your circles, I mean, most of my network is already here. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's very true. What's also kind of funny, you had sent me this TechCrunch article that lists the top Google Plus users.
Yeah.
Guess who's number one?
Mark Zuckerberg. Isn't that amazing that he's on top?
He's ahead of Larry Page.
I know. He has the most followers right now on Google Plus at the time of the article, which was 13 hours ago. On Tuesday, he had about 21,000 followers. I'm sure that number's a lot higher now. Of course, friends of ours and Twit people are on the list as well, like Leo Laporte is on there.
Absolutely.
Kevin Rose, Robert Scoble. So the tech people dominate the list right now. We'll see how that changes over the months to come.
Well, we've always noticed that as services get popular enough and people who aren't the tech elite, I guess, like some of our friends that are on at least the top 12 that we just saw on that TechCrunch article, start to adopt things. We've seen it with Twitter. The celebrities get on board or people who realize, well, this is part of the culture. I want to see what all the geeks are talking about. it'll probably change. Certainly, it's not just geeks who have Gmail addresses. That's for sure. So many people are used to using Google products that I see. I don't know. I think Google Plus has a really bright future. I find myself getting excited to get in there in the morning and just kind of see what's happened since I was there last, which is something I guess I haven't felt for a while because my other social networks are extremely informative and I get a lot out of them, but they're not new and exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely new and exciting. And I've heard, I've read a few articles about Google Plus so far. One of the features people seem to really love is the ability, particularly to, on your Android device, to upload photos and share photos. I know when you go into the photo section within Google Plus, you can see photos from your circle of friends. I think as of the time of the taping of this show, that the iPhone app is just getting in the process of potentially getting approved, if I'm right. I don't know, Sarah, if you know anything more about.
I wish I did. I hope that's true because right now on my iPhone or my iPad, on the iPad you can use the regular Google Plus view. I wish I had my iPad handy right now. I'd show you guys, but it's actually they have a mobile site that's optimized because at least over the weekend when I was playing around, I was trying to comment on some people's Google Plus updates, and I couldn't figure out how to type anything, so I switched over to the mobile version, and I was still kind of having a hard time. And I think that the mobile version on a smaller phone, on an iPhone, for example, I guess it would apply to an Android phone as well, is it's great, but it's a different look and feel because, of course, it has to be optimized for a much smaller screen. On an iPad, you don't really have that problem, so I don't like the idea of using Google Plus mobile site version on my iPad. I would hope that an iOS app would be coming down the pipeline sooner than later so that we could get some of that it's pretty Google Plus feeling with the mobile site. But yeah, I certainly hope the iPhone users, especially with Hangouts, which is the, for anybody who's not familiar, we've talked about it on pretty much all last week, was everybody was really excited about the Hangouts feature where you can have a video chat with more than one friend and it will actually, the service will actually change the camera shot depending on who's talking, what audio is being picked up, which is, we've tried it. I mean, it works pretty well.
That's great. And I'm just reading an article on PCMag.com that talks about the iPhone and iPad app. So it is just in the process of being approved by Apple. So
great.
Who knows how long that's going to take, but I'm sure that will be a big win for a lot of people who depend on their Apple devices to stay in touch on social networking sites like this.
Absolutely. So Amber, over the weekend, something happened on Twitter that was a bit embarrassing for a news organization.
Yeah, not so good. So on July 4th, some people who are following Fox News on Twitter might have noticed that there was a tweet that went up that President Barack Obama was assassinated. Now, the message wasn't up for that long, however long enough for people to take notice and for Fox to put out a message that, of course, someone had hacked into their account. Most recently, an article on Mashable describes the hacker group who call themselves Script Kiddies, claimed that they broke into one of Fox News's Twitter accounts and sent out this fake news. Fox News is in the process right now of working with Twitter to try to figure out why this happened and why there was a breach of security, and obviously hugely embarrassing for Fox News. I don't think anyone believed it because it wasn't on any other Fox accounts except for this one particular account, Fox News Politics. So I guess that's the good news, but not a very funny prank, especially on July 4th.
Certainly not. In Fox News Politics, for a while, because I was following the story also going, oh gosh, this is awful. Fox News, not the only organization to get hacked recently. I mean, we have quite a hacking epidemic going on right now. I know that at least for a while, some of those tweets were still live and people were like, who is running, you know, yes, it's a holiday, but somebody's got to be there that's handling this account that can actually pull it down. I now see that they've tweeted that their Twitter feed was hacked to a link that explains the story a little bit more. So they're obviously being open about the fact that, yes, this happened, and it is actually a story. You know, they can't really ignore it. But it, indeed, even though it seems to be fairly easy for somebody to gain control of a variety of accounts, whether it's a Sony PlayStation account or a Twitter account or an email account, this is the sort of thing that is embarrassing, and obviously the information is very serious. I mean, nobody's going to laugh at that the president was assassinated. Oh, just kidding. He wasn't. I mean, it's an attention-getting scheme, but it's like, it for the few people that it might have fooled, what an unfunny joke.
Oh, yeah, very unfunny. Now, Sarah, you have a service listed in the spotlight section in our rundown for the show today called Scoville, which I have not tried. However, I like the idea of it using Foursquare data to recommend your top spots socially.
Yeah, this is cool. So Scoville was recommended to me by a friend, and it is still in beta. So they're working out some kinks, but I like the concept of it so far. What it is right now is a tool for Foursquare users. Now, eventually, it's going to open up to other services like, and these are geolocation services. So GoWalla and Facebook check-ins will be coming down the pipeline. They're not live yet. So this is just for Foursquare. What you do is, I'm walking around all day long. I'm a very active Foursquare user. If I go get a coffee, I check into the coffee shop. If I go to Walgreens to pick up some aspirin, I check into Walgreens. And I use that. I always say it's like, well, I'm leaving a little breadcrumb trail for myself. But what am I really doing with that content? I mean, is it really that helpful to me or anybody else? Maybe not. But if you use something like Scoville, it becomes more interesting because all of my data now is captured by Scoville, and I can start arranging this in categories. So if I go to my, if I go to my home profile area, it is analyzing my check-in. So these are the places that I've been lately. So good thing that I don't have a problem telling you guys where I've gone lately. what I've already done is participated in a Best Wine Bars of San Francisco like box. That this is Scoville's way of, it's kind of like they're just categorizing best ofs. So they call them like boxes. And I and anybody else who wants to can participate in adding to this like box. So I just went down the line and didn't have to actually think too hard about what my favorite wine bars have been, because what it does is it pulls out Foursquare data that if I've checked into Hotel Biron, which actually happens to be one of my favorite wine bars, it's already categorized as a wine bar, and it knows that I've checked in there, so it recommends it. Is this one of your favorite wine bars? So I just kind of had to say, yes, yes, yes. So this was a process that I went through a couple days ago. It took me like 10 seconds to add all of these wine bars because all of that data was already there. I had just never categorized it in this way. So this is something that I could then say, hey, Amber, next time you're in San Francisco, if you want to get a glass of wine, I've got 9 really cool wine bars that I can tell you firsthand are awesome. Here's the permalink to where they all are in San Francisco. You can show them on a map. I can add a tip. From within Scoville, this is actually kind of cool. Paz Wine Bar is one of my favorite new wine bars, and it's fairly new. And I can add a tip that then will be seen by not only my Scoville friends, but on Foursquare as well. So it's using the API in cool ways so that I can post both places. That's something that Foursquare users, if you're not using Foursquare, it's like, oh, I'm still trying to kind of grasp the idea of this. But Foursquare users are now able to not only check in somewhere. If I check into that coffee shop in the morning, I can say, I can add a tip that says, forget the espresso, it's garbage, get the drip coffee, it's so much better, that sort of thing. So it's not just, oh, I was here, it's I was here and I have something to pass along that's a helpful tip to the next person. So I don't know, what do you think, Amber? Is this I know you're not the biggest geolocator in the world, but what do you think about the service for people who are?
I think it's really interesting. I mean, anytime you're taking data like that and presenting it in a new way that's relevant to a lot of people, hey, I'm a big fan. So yeah. I think it sounds like a very cool service, just making use of so much information that's out there already. And so hopefully this is just the first of many with that particular, with Foursquare. Now, Sarah, I have a really interesting little tip that is a very simple tip, but something I think a lot of people get frustrated with, especially if you're a Google Plus user and you decide, you don't want to use Facebook anymore. I'm not sure if that will happen with everyone, but it's very difficult to delete your account on Facebook, as I'm sure you know.
Yes.
And I don't plan on doing this anytime soon. However, if you did want to do it, if you decided that, hey, this Facebook is, I'm just tired of using it, I want to get rid of all my information there. There was a great quick little post on Read Write Web that talked about how you can actually delete your Facebook account. And the first thing they recommend, of course, is to back up your data, a simple thing. And it's pretty easy to back up your Facebook data. You may want to do this anyway. There's simply an option to download your information from Facebook that's available in your settings. So you can get a copy of everything that you put onto Facebook. So that's the first thing that you need to make sure you do. Now, the second thing, and I thought this was kind of interesting, because I didn't really know how to delete your Facebook account. I thought it would be easier than it actually is. However, based on this article, it says that there is no button in the settings to delete your Facebook account. In fact, they try to guilt you into actually staying on Facebook as long as they can, and that this particular button to delete your Facebook account is actually buried deep within the site's FAQ section. So you need to go into the FAQs, and you can access the profile delete button there. So you can see how well they've hidden it so that not a lot of people can do it. And keep in mind, if you do this, your information it's gone forever. Again, not recommending that you necessarily want to do this, but if you're not using Facebook and you think, okay, I'm ready to move on to another network, or you just don't like the way Facebook is working, at least hopefully this is a tip that you can use so you don't dig around and search for this forever.
Absolutely. I know that people who wanted to delete their Facebook accounts were getting really frustrated, and there were some accusations against Facebook that it was impossible to delete your account, that Facebook was not allowing people to actually just wipe everything out. And what was happening is, and I'm not sure how the terms have changed since then, what was happening was anytime that people were using Facebook Connect to log into other services, you know, where you've got that nice little button where you don't have to think of a new username and a new password, you just use your Facebook credentials, then you're still active on your Facebook account, even though for some people, if they never go to their Facebook page or look at any of their friends' profiles, they feel like they're not using Facebook, but they still are in a roundabout sort of a way. So that was confusing for people as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, too confusing, I think. Now, Sarah, you have a service here that I think I've heard Leo talk about before. I don't know if he likes it or uses it, Fab, which is kind of like, I guess it's from the Guilt Group, but for a whole different category of shopping.
Yeah, I actually think, I don't think they're associated with Guilt, but they'll seem a lot like Guilt for anybody.
Okay, so it's like Guilt.
Yeah, so, well, and that's an honest mistake, because Guilt is, for anyone who's not familiar, it's a Guilt Group, which is GILT without the U .com, where it's daily clothing and shoes and jewelry and home furnishing deals. They expanded to hotels. So jetsetter.com is also part of Guilt Group, where it's deals on pretty nice hotels. They also now have is it called Guilt Food? Guilt Taste.
Okay.
Guilt Taste, where it's not only just where you can actually buy food that obviously won't spoil quickly, but cool gift baskets and things like that. But they also have interesting original content from chefs, and it's more of a destination than just places to buy stuff. Fab.com is along these lines, but it's much more home furnishings and art and things that at least the Guilt folks aren't covering yet. And I just thought it was a good mention. I mean, I don't know exactly how social it is, because it's like, you know, if I buy a couch for my living room and it's discounted at fab.com, I could tell Amber about it, but there's not so much social going on. But it is a pretty cool service, and I thought it was worth at least passing along for anybody who's interested in this model, but maybe isn't interested in couture jeans or is not going to take a trip very soon. Maybe you just need something to hang above your TV, or you're looking for some really interesting kitchen chairs that are 15% off. Some of the stuff on Fab is not cheap, but then again, if you're looking for that perfect thing, a deal is a deal, and people love sales. So I thought, if you're interested in that sort of thing, definitely check out Fab, because it might be your bag. All right, Amber, before we get to some of our viewer feedback, we want to thank Audible.com for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. And by the way, I saw a chat room that when I was talking about Squarespace earlier, I used the wrong code. I used iPad Today 7. That is not the correct code. It is Social Hour 7. So when you go to squarespace.com and you sign up for an account, please use Social Hour 7 rather than iPad Today 7. I don't know. Honest mistake. Moving on to Audible. If you're not familiar with Audible, why aren't you? They're the best. They're the leading provider of audiobooks because they have more than 75,000 audiobooks to download. I mean, 75,000, that is nothing to That's a big library. Amber, have you ever looked for anything on Audible and not found what you were looking for? I bet you haven't.
No. In fact, I was just looking. I was interested in reading Gary Vaynerchuk. I'm a big fan of his, and he's been on the show before in previous versions of the program. And he just wrote a book called The Thank You Economy. And I don't know if this just got onto Audible, but I noticed it on their homepage. So The Thank You Economy is available right now. So that's talking a lot about social media. Gary Vaynerchuk is one of the best people to listen to in this space. So for anyone who wants to learn more about building online communities and what it takes, this might be a really good pick. And it's narrated by Gary Vaynerchuk, so that's a bonus too.
If you're not familiar with Gary, he's a great speaker. I mean, he is one of the most dynamic. He's a friend. He's a great guy. He's extremely smart, but his strength is really in his delivery. So this is the sort of book that it just makes perfect sense that he would narrate his own book, because he's a really a lot of fun to listen to. And The Thank You Economy is a really great book. And Amber, that's an awesome pick. I'm not seeing it on the homepage. I don't know why I'm not. But I would highly recommend that as well. Gary is very, talk about somebody who has a good social strategy. I mean, his whole thing is that not only do you have to be interactive with people and genuine, but it's being nice and thanking people for supporting you and participating in all of the things that you're participating in, and really being somebody that's like a friend is the way to go. And that's, you know, it's being nice, being yourself. And it's a really good message that he's sending to people. If you're interested in trying Audible, here's what we're going to do for you. Go to audiblepodcast.com/social hour. Okay, so that's the URL. Once you do that, you go ahead and sign up for an account. What happens then? You get a free audiobook. That's right, people, a free book. You can download The Thank You Economy for free just by signing up with an Audible account. audiblepodcast.com/social hour is the URL. Again, you just put in your information. It's extremely easy to get going. And download a free book. You can download whatever you want, but Thank You Economy is as Amber mentioned, is a really, really good example. Narrated by Gary Vaynerchuk himself. He's a great guy, got a great voice. It's a lot of fun. Believe me, you won't get bored. You will not fall asleep listening to this audiobook.
You will not fall asleep. Yeah, if you want to fall asleep, don't download this book.
Right. If you want to be bored,
you need to stay awake, and you have a long road trip ahead of you, or you're on a plane and you want to enjoy your traveling moments, then download this book because it will keep you awake.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to – we've got a video. It's the first video that we've gotten in a while, so let me just open this video up here. From somebody who wrote in to the show, who's got, let's see if I can minimize my Chrome. Yeah, so this is not a YouTube video as we usually get, but this is from somebody who has a suggestion for a future guest.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and play our video.
Hi, Amber. Hi, Sarah. I'm the CEO of SMAC. My name is Matt Hooper. My company's part of the Mass Challenge Startup Competition here in Boston. And we had a speaker come in yesterday who I think would be great for your show. Her name is Laura Fitton. She's at Pistachio on Twitter, and she runs this company called 140. And the site, what it does, it lists all the social media tools, and Laura has been in the Twitter space forever. So I think she would be a great resource to get on your show, and hopefully we'll see her soon. Continue to watch the show, and love what you guys are doing. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you. Amber, are you familiar with Laura? Because I think she would be awesome for the show, and I'm actually a little embarrassed that we haven't had her on yet.
You know, it's so funny. I don't know if I've met her before, but I definitely know her name, and I feel embarrassed right now, too, because I wonder if I've exchanged messages with her on Twitter or something. I'm familiar with some of her work, so we should get in touch with her and try to get her on the show. So that's great to have a suggestion for a guest, because we're always looking to have really awesome people on the show.
Absolutely. 140.com is the website that at Pistachio, otherwise Laura, runs with a few other people, but she's the founder. This is a great resource for people who are interested in services that work well with Twitter. And they list many, many of them. So I won't go into to all of them right now. But one of them, for example, if you just go like, well, what do you mean services that work with Twitter? This is actually a service that I played around with a little bit last night, and I love. This is, and I got this from 140. I'd never heard of it before. This is how to manage people that you're following on Twitter. I'll go ahead and connect to Twitter here. Based on who you follow, based on who follows you back, based on how active they've been, you know, let's say in the past 6 months, maybe I'm following somebody that hasn't even tweeted in the last year. It's like, should I still be following them? I mean, I don't really want to just kind of bloat up my following stream if I don't have to. They have kind of funny things when they're crunching data here, reading Mashable, watching Oprah, blah, blah, blah. But, last night I went through a lot of the people I was following, and I tried not to take it personally when I noticed that some people were not following me back. But I, you know, it's a good way to kind of say, all right, who do I really want to follow here? What's my relationship with them? Maybe it's changed since the last time we saw each other. And if somebody's not very active, maybe it's I was following a couple of Twitter services that I actually don't use anymore, like old apps. I was following just their updates, and they've kind of gone dormant. And it's like, well, I just go ahead and unfollow just to kind of clean things up. Yeah, or you can also get a sense of who's super talkative on Twitter, and maybe it's been bugging you, but it actually gives you a better metric as to, you know, who's like the most talkative, who's the most talkative person that I follow on Twitter. Oh, it's Alexis. Or Jack Dorsey or Edison, or, you know, it's people that are either engaged or not engaged. And then you can kind of get a sense of, do I really want to follow these people? Or other words, Oink app is actually a kind of a funny example, because that's Kevin Rose's app that actually hasn't launched yet. So they actually haven't tweeted at all. So I'll go ahead and keep following them because I want to see what that first tweet is. But Tom's dog Sawyer has not updated in 4 months. So maybe I'll have to rethink, if I want to follow him or not. So good stuff on 140 for sure.
What's the name of that again, Sarah?
This is Manage Flitter. So it's ManageFlitter.com, which I found through 140, which is ONEFORTY.com. So it's both are spelled out. But we should definitely try to get Laura Fitton on a future episode. She would be a really good guest because she clearly knows social.
Yep, we'll get her on.
Cool, cool, cool. All right, we want to hear from you guys. If you don't know how to get a hold of us, get your pencils ready or just start typing.
Easy.
Yeah.
All you have to do is write us at the social hour at twit.tv. Leave us a voicemail at 2626 social. Or even better, if you want to record a video, you can upload it and send us the link, but keep it kind of short because we like your videos being around, you know, 30 seconds, definitely less than a minute. And you can send us your feedback and we'll try to include it in an upcoming show. So we include lots of guests and links and content that all of you love.
Absolutely. All right, Amber, before we get to Rad or Fad, we want to quickly thank Netflix. They're our third sponsor of the show. Yay, lots of sponsors. We love the fact that the Social Hour is doing well and our sponsors are excited, and so we try to give back to them as much as possible. If you're not familiar with Netflix, where have you been? Leo and I were joking about this the other day, Amber. It's like pretty much everybody who watches Twit knows what Netflix is, but maybe they know somebody who doesn't. It's the sort of service that once you have it, you can't imagine ever not having it. So if you know somebody who's not familiar with Netflix, this is a good opportunity to kind of say, hey, you know, we're getting into summer. You want some new movies. You want to be able to watch stuff instantly, or maybe you want DVDs sent to your house. Netflix.com is the place to send anybody who's not already in the know. Of course, you can watch Netflix movies on your Mac, your PC, your iPad app, Android phones, Xbox, PS3, Nintendo, all sorts of stuff. Again, you can watch instantly. You just go ahead and look through your instant queue and decide, hey, I want to play this movie. You just go ahead and watch it. I actually watch Netflix through my Apple TV, my Roku, and even one of the TVs at my house is Netflix enabled, just a little widget inside my Sony Bravia. So very easy for me. You have a lot of options. And the instant queue is great because you can just decide that you want to watch a movie and be watching it within seconds, just a couple clicks. Of course, if you're more of a DVD person, Netflix is still using the business model that they were known for before instant streaming came along, where you can get DVDs sent straight to your inbox. You watch your movie. When you're done with it, you put it back in the envelope that they gave you, and you send it back, and then they'll send you your next movie that that you manage in your queue online. Very, very simple. It's good stuff. If you want 30 days of free content, imagine free everything suite. That you could watch in 30 days.
I should also mention, if you have kids, there's lots of cartoons on Netflix. So if you're desperate for the kid's favorite cartoon and it's not airing on television at the appropriate time, then you can go and get The Backyardigans or any of these other great kids shows, because that can be helpful if you want to unload the dishwasher and have like 10 minutes to yourself.
Good call. Wow, Hetsy. As a childless woman, I wouldn't really have thought about that, Amber, but that is absolutely a great way. Hey, you know, especially for people who have cut the cord recently or don't like what cable television has as an option. Yeah, or just the cable connection.
That would be the best tagline for Netflix. If you cut the cord.
If you cut the cord, this is the service for you, whether it's a umbilical cord or another kind of cord. But yeah, it's Netflix, a very good call. You can watch a very buttery collection, or Connor can anyway. Actually, South Park is probably not really Connor's speed just yet. It's a lot
maybe
more of adult
years.
Humor, yeah, for him. Netflix.com/twit. All you go ahead and do is sign up for your 1 month free trial. Email, password, continue. It's very, very easy. It's not a painful process at all. And you get your first month free. So you can go to town, watch as much as possible. You don't have to sleep. You don't have to eat. You don't have to do anything. Netflix.com/twit. After that free month, you're going to love it, and you'll stick with it. I'm sure of it. And we thank them so much for supporting the show. All right, Amber, what is Rad or Fad this week?
Okay, Sarah, now let's say that you can't quite figure out a good way to develop your social profile online. You know, you're not really that great at pushing content out to Facebook or Twitter or any other social sites, and you want a bot to take over your life online. Well, this service is allowing you to do it. I found it on Andy Bio site, Waxy Links, and it is an enhanced virtual self. So you log in with your Twitter username and password or Facebook username and password, and you let this bot just find content that you would like. Basically, they go through your previous posts and recognize the type of things that you are sharing, and then it will help to post on your behalf. Now, Sarah, it gets weird. So before I even say anything more about this, I will say that I did not sign up because I'm scared of letting a bot take over.
So this is their, tutorial video that explains how you can have bots act as you. I mean, is this good? Is this like for lazy people? Is it? I mean, who wants? Is it just for people who want to keep up on all the social media sites but simply don't have time? Or is this like the bot will be smarter than I would be if I tweeted for myself?
It says it's for shy people.
I see.
He would really like to be, and by trying to build him a greater social reputation, the robot will simulate the presence of a dynamic link with other social networks.
It's like a personal assistant
that is related to his interests, respecting its participation rate.
Wow.
Join us.
The best part of the video is join us.
It's kind of scary, isn't it?
It's very
like,
scary.
Do I want to join you, replicants?
I don't think so. And to be honest with you, as someone, as much as I appreciate sort of the sci-fi vibe of this particular video, I don't think I'm going to try out replicants anytime soon. In fact, I don't even know if it's a joke, if anyone's ever tried it. But if anyone out there wants to try it and has an experience with it, I think we would love to know, right, Sarah? Because we're not sure if this is rad or fad. It's hard to say because we haven't had a firsthand experience just yet. And maybe we don't want to.
and the website's kind of weird. I mean, it's a mchrbn.net. /FCBT. I don't know if there's anything that's more direct than this, but this is the replicant's homepage. So we went ahead and we played that video. That's the link that we got off of their page to watch their tutorial. It says if you haven't gotten a bot yet, you can join today. So I guess I could like join via Twitter, but see, I feel like maybe it's rad for someone else. But for me, it's like, hey, I enjoy keeping up with my social networks. I mean, I don't really think I'm very shy, and it's kind of my job. So it's like, I don't want a bot to be taking over and
this is
taking
where we
some
need,
of
like,
my control.
It should be like rad or fad or freaky, and I'm going to put this in the freaky category.
I'm going to agree with you.
Because I don't know if it fits in the other two.
Yeah, it's we're also afraid of robots. It's like, do we really want them taking over our social network? I guess if they're really smart and make us look good.
All I have to say, Sarah, if you remember the end, join us.
There's something
very creepy about that.
I'm frightened.
That last statement.
I will not join you, robot revolution. I've seen Terminator. I know what can happen.
Don't do it.
So we're kind of like, maybe it's rad for somebody, and if it is, let us know. Maybe some of you say, this is just, robots are a passing fad, and other of you might be a little bit frightened, as Amber and I are, so let us know. You can always write us at thesocialhour@twit.tv.
Don't blame us if the bot takes over your social profiles and you don't like it.
Because we warned you.
We warned you on the social hour.
We did. That's right. All right, Amber, this has been a social hour and a half because we had a lot of content and a great conversation with Alexis Ohanian at the top of the show. Anybody who joined us live and missed our interview, you got to watch the show once we post it. It'll be posted up in the next 24 hours at twit.tv/TSH because it was a really cool conversation. He's a cool guy. And we went through a lot of stuff today. So if you missed any of the links that we talked about, you want to follow up, you want a bot to control your Twitter account, okay.
Listening?
Yeah, well, all of those links and information will be posted in our show notes as well. So don't worry if you missed anything. We won't leave you hanging. That's it, Amber. I hope you really enjoy the first of the next 3 weeks at Prince Edward Island, hanging out with your family.
Yes, it's been awesome, Sarah, and I can't wait to join you from here again next week and the next week and maybe even the next week.
Yeah, cool. So I think next week we're back to our regular schedule. That's Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Yeah, it's been one of those days. July 5th is always a doozy. Yeah, Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. And yeah, we're on a regular schedule next week. So join us live if you can. And if not, you can always watch us on demand. All right, Amber, have a great one.
Sarah.
See you next week and see you online.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.